This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
على سيد المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم بارك لنا في القرآن العظيم وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وذكرنا منه ما نسينا يا أرحم الراحمين. We always begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace and salutations upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify that none is worthy of worship but Allah, and that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshiping slave and final messenger. I continue to remind myself and you of taqwallah azza wa jal. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inherits in you and I an inner love for him and a fear of him and a hope in his unending mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all of that profits us with an increase in our consciousness, in our awareness of how we deal with him in a way that is greater in our privacy than what we seek to show each other publicly. Allahumma ameen. Today I wanted to speak, inshallah, about the importance of giving. And subhanAllah, our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is described by the Sahaba as being Jawad, one who was generous. But more importantly, the word Jawad means one who was quick at speed or at pace. So one of the nicknames of horses, for example, are that they are the ones that are very quick off the start. So really, that's the description that the Sahaba had for our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was Jawad. He was quick off the start. He wasn't the one who waited for somebody to give before he gave. He wasn't one who waited for other people to ask before he assisted. And he wasn't one to be the last to come into place to give after everybody else has given. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Jawad. He was generous, but he was quick from the start. He was consistent all throughout. And he understood that giving was never something that you deferred until others beat you to it. And of course, giving is of a number of different types and a number of different ways. Many of us, alhamdulillah, we are gifted in giving in particular ways, but maybe we need improvement in others. Some of us, for example, are very philanthropic. We are able to share from our wealth towards others. Others are very generous with their time. Some of us are emotionally supportive of other people. Some of us are really good listeners and are able to lend an ear or give our attention to others. Some of us, we fail at that, but we're really good in advice and really good in talking people towards a better direction for themselves to take in their life, advice givers and people who are conciliaries in other people's lives. Giving, of course, is not just meant to be something that is material or financial. It's not just something that is shared or a level of barakah that is given in that sense. Rather, sharing is something that is a totality of a human experience. And one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ingrained within us as mankind is our dependence, interdependence, and intradependence on each other, where we depend on each other inwardly, but we also depend on each other externally. There's a dependence of the heart upon each other. There's also a dependence upon the physical needs that we have with one another. And with that, it becomes important to consider the importance of being of those who are charitable. The word, of course, that I haven't yet used, the Arabic word, is to be somebody who gives sadaqah. And sadaqah is this amazing word in the Arabic language that has no replacement to it in the English language as a one-to-one translation. Sadaqah, of course, it comes from the triletter word that means sidq, sad, dal, and qaf. And sidq is something, from it is the word sidq, which means truthfulness, which means to be transparent and open, to be one who is dutiful, to be one who is assertive, to be one who is plain. All of these are shades of meaning of that concept of truth. And of course, when somebody is giving in charity, it's meant to be an acceptance of truth and a giving of truth, that you accept that by giving this, I preferred others to myself, and you accept that you are in the hope that this will be returned to you by others in like kind. And alhamdulillah, we have our first caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Can you hide the wires behind
you? Waalaikum salam.
Yes, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, brother. How can I help?
Waalaikum salam.
Yes, my brother.
So my question is,
right, jazakallah khair. So to paraphrase the question, inshallah, the brother's asking, if somebody has had a thought in their mind that is not one that they were deliberating on or intentional in, but it's something that's kind of repetitive and they try to keep pushing it out of their mind by asking Allah to forgive them, by repeating their shahada, is this something that is acceptable? And is this something that has harmed their faithfulness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So there's a number of important issues that kind of relate to this question. The first of them is the concept of waswasa. And the waswasa is where a person, finds within themselves that there is a disturbance or something that has within their heart this whispering or the thought. And this is something that has two origins. For us as Muslims, we understand they have two origins. One of them is the self and the shaitan, which is the dialogue of the self. And it could be that the self has strayed far away from Allah, that it comes in that sense. Or it is a whispering of the shaitan, which comes and goes in alternate times in the day. The second, which is usually the reason for this, is that a person, especially if it is a compulsive attack in the sense that's described, is that it could relate to a stress factor that results in a mental health issue. Now, mental health is something that I know at times is seen as a taboo subject within the Islamic community, but it is something that's important for us to address. At times, all of us, if we consider ourselves like this balloon, all of us, alhamdulillah, this balloon is fine. And as more pressure is added, as more air is blown into it, it begins to expand and it's able to take on that pressure. But in that balloon, at one place or another, there's always this little weak spot. There's one spot where it begins to open up a little bit more than other places. It's expanding in one section more than others. And that's the section, if just a little bit extra pressure, a little bit extra complexity, a little bit extra stress in one's daily routine or in one's life kind of touches upon that, there is this little outburst and there's this little, break that can happen. And that is something that all human beings can find themselves in danger of. And it's something that we have been blessed, alhamdulillah, both in modern science and with spiritual cures of bringing ourselves back to good order. What I would say is that somebody is having these kind of complex thoughts, and these are things that are not a part of their belief. It's not something that they believe in this. It's something, they're hearing this voice, or it's something that's, coming into their mind in that sense. It's not just simply saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and asking Allah to push it away, but it is to maybe investigate how to deal with a compulsive disorder, because this kind of sounds somewhat like it. And it's probably that this manifestation is happening in other places as well. And it could be that some people are making wudu repetitively. They're always making wudu, or they're always being careful, and they're always thinking, am I still a Muslim? Is my wudu right? Has my prayer been? Did I make a mistake in my salah? And I'm going to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And of course, these are things that we can get clinical help with and spiritual help with it. And there isn't enough time to kind of address that question in the short space that we have. So I do recommend taking both avenues, the spiritual avenue, which is always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and hidayah, maintaining our prayers, keeping within our wudu, getting our answers to questions that we have answered by those who are qualified to answer them. And if we have received an answer that just didn't sit well with us, to ask others and ask others until it's clear. And then secondly, and thereafter, to certainly investigate if there are clinical issues that perhaps with little routine changes, dealing with other aspects of our daily stresses in life, that we can bring an end to this, whether it's in a state of dreams that we see or in our wakeful state. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So we were speaking, alhamdulillah, about the importance of giving, the importance of charity, the love that we share with each other and the love that we share with our communities, mashallah. And we said that charity is something that is seen as an act of sadaqah. It's an act of truth. You believe in the truthfulness of Allah's promise that if you do good by others, good will be done by you. And if you share with others, others will share with you by the bounty and the virtue of your kindness. And if you are giving, Allah will give unto you. And if you are from the first, Allah will be the first to assist you, and you will be from those who are as-sabiqoon. May Allah make you and I of them. Allahumma ameen. One of the important aspects as it relates to this concept of sadaqah and giving is that it has important requirements. And some of the things that I think a lot of people have always asked about are, how much do I give? And who can know about what I've given? And how do we reconcile between those hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says that the one who gives in secret, that the right hand is given charity with such secrecy that the left doesn't even know, then they will be from those who are shaded by Allah on the day of judgment, when everybody will be seeking shade and protection from their inequity and sins and the torment of that day. How do we reconcile that with other hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that he would invite people to come forward publicly and give in charity? And that's one of the reasons we honor some of the great Sahaba. We honor Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu wa arda, because he was so generous. He fulfilled his covenant to Allah through his acts of worship, in particular through his charitableness in the way and in the path of God, and in support of his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know that Abu Bakr is the one, radiallahu anhu, who spent of his wealth to free the likes of Bilal. Could you imagine giving the charity that gives a man their life and removes enslavement from them? And could you imagine the reward of that man is actually Bilal, radiallahu anhu, who goes on to lead the adhan for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who's one of the dearest and closest friends of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the elite of the Sahaba? How do we know that it's Abu Bakr who gave? Because it's not a secret act of devotion. It was something that was meant to be plain and in sight, and it's celebrated. So here is the condition that I think is important for us to understand. If a person gives charity wanting other people to acknowledge them for the good that they have done, then this removes some of the reward of what it is that they're doing, even though they are seeking Allah. If the motivating factor of the charity, if that which is in the heart, that which is in the behavior, is that I'm doing this because I deserve to be recognized. Nobody else did this. This is by my doing that I'm the one who built this masjid. This must bear my, you know, my hallmark, and everybody must know. Not that it is for other than Allah, but it's a source of pride and a source of arrogant pride, not justified righteous pride. That is something that would remove some of the great reward. The second condition that's important is that if a person is doing a public act of good, in particular charity, but their intention is for other people to follow suit with it, like Uthman ibn Affan, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, to give in that act so that other people will do the same. Other people will free other slaves. Other people will support the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then this is a phenomenal act of worship that actually earns more than the reward of the act itself. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who does a good deed and others witness it, or that they have been called by them to do similar to what they've done, كان له مثل أجر فاعله, then they receive the reward similar to the one who followed them in that righteous deed. And therefore, you know, it is such a virtue to be able to be blessed with wealth that, you know, you give in the path of Allah and that people seek to follow you in that example. In the authentic hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says very similar words. We'll come to that hadith after we hear our caller. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ يحيى كيف أخباركم؟
أهلا بكم الحمد لله. It's good to hear from you once again, my dear brother.
حفظكم الله يا brother. Brother, I have today two questions. Inshallah, the first question is about one ayah from Surah Al-Isra. It says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل لعبادي يقول التي هي أحسن إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا.
أحسن الله إليكم جزاكم الله خير. May Allah grant you its reward. اللهم أمين. وجزاك الله عنا خير الجزاء. الله يبارك فينا وفيكم. So to deal with mashallah these two wonderful questions, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our brother and his family and give them an increase in their wealth and in their health and in their rizq and make us and them from those who are forgiven. اللهم أمين. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he receives in Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the shaitan yanzaghu, he is one who seeds sedition or rebellion between the hearts of the believers. And this is actually one of the phenomenal ayat in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us warning that there are devilish influences that can affect people who are normally, mashallah, normally equitable in their treatment of each other, just and fair in their treatment of each other. And out of the wickedness of the unseen demonic forces and of the living demonic forces of humanity, there can be the separation of good. And this ayah تحمل على المعنى on both understandings. Allah tells us in the Quran that there are shayateen al-ins wal-jinn. There are shayateen that are from humanity, and there are shayateen from the unseen world, the jinn. Now, those who are from humanity are just like you and I, subhanAllah, but they have taken on the traits of the shaitan. What does this mean? The word shaitan, it comes from shata'a, which means to go beyond a demarcated area and to know that this is where I should stop, but to willfully go beyond it in arrogance, in pride, and in rebellion against what is the norm and the rule that others follow. And therefore, you know, even in the vernacular of, you know, Arabs, they say, shat al-ta'am, you know, the food shat, meaning it's no longer edible. It's been overcooked, that it's been burnt. So anything that goes so far that it's lost its inner core, its inner goodness, that it's no longer recognizable, it's had this devilish, this downturn into devilishness. And that's what we mean by shaitan. One who has chosen evil when they were in good. One who goes to the evil headlong when they were in a place of protection and good. And therefore this ayah, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ, that the shaitan can cause sedition. And it could be as you're sitting there, you get a phone call from a brother. And you get a phone call from that sister who tells you, do you know what this person did? And all of a sudden, your inner workings, your inner love for each other gets mixed up and gets flipped over. So that's one effect of a shaitanic behavior. And therefore, al-ghiba wal namima are things that are condemnable and sinful. The second are the wayward thoughts that at times are in ourselves that the shaitan then amplifies. So subhanAllah, one of the brothers, he entered in the room, he said, Salaamu Alaikum everyone, and he spoke to this person, and overlooked you and spoke to that person. And as you're sitting there, your mind said, subhanAllah, the brother said salam to everyone, but he didn't, you know, he acknowledged everyone, but not me. And at that moment, your nafs felt an injury of pride. Here, the unseen demonic forces, they come against the heart, and they begin to whisper within us, oh, it's because, you know, this and this, maybe this person said this, and all of a sudden, what was in you naturally as a thought, the shaitan now explodes it within you to make it more than it should. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ tells us to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, when we feel anger. The Prophet asks us to do these spiritual actions when we feel a change in our demeanor that has a natural human element, but now it's being exaggerated by the shaitan. With regards to the second wonderful comment as well as question, our brother says, if we can remind ourselves of the importance of the third trait, which is where I was coming to. The third trait when we give charity is that we do not have al-man wal-adha, is that we do not make the person who we have been, have shown, alhamdulillah, by Allah's favor upon us, that we have shown them that generosity, that they have received it from us, that we belittle them, demean them, hold it against them, make them feel inferior, or that we are the ones who are above because we are giving. In fact, in our Islamic philosophy and our ideals as Muslims, is that the one who is giving is only giving because Allah gave them. And the opportunity for you to give is because Allah opened your heart. But if you choose to give after Allah's opened your heart and then you rebel against Allah by assuming it's you and not the generosity of Allah upon you that made you fit to perform that or to pursue that act of righteousness, then this is a lowly act and considered one that is unbecoming the thought process of a true believer. To turn away from others in that sense is sinful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and to grant us all good. Please, if you have your calls, call in, inshallah. We're going to take a short break and we'll resume again shortly. Your brother Yahya, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. See you soon.
الله وأطيع الرسول وأولي